Welcome everyone to a special update on the markets with Stashaway. And in particular, I have here our Deputy CIO, Stephanie Leong from Hong Kong as well, dialing in. Hi, Stephanie. Good to have you here.
Hi, Freddie. Hi, everyone.
Yeah. Now, we understand, Stephanie, that, you know, there's another volatile sessions on Friday. The broad markets were volatile as well, but in particular, China tech stocks have gathered another boat of attention again. Can you just walk us through sort of some color on Friday's move and perhaps shed some limelight or insights on what it means?
Yeah, we saw quite a steep sell on Friday night on the U.S. listed shares in China, internet and technology, on the concerns that the VIE structure is no longer valid and that these U.S. listed companies will have to delist from the U.S. and relist in China. I think DD set an example saying that basically they will delist from the U.S. and return to Chinese bosses. So that set off actually a chain of capitulation events, and people had to liquidate. A lot of that actually, we feel, has to do with, of course, the drawdown, and then also secondly, more importantly, is the year end effect. It's basically December, where a lot of fund managers will choose to actually close the books ahead of the holiday and also lock in their P&L for the year end calculation of payouts. So that was partly what drove Friday's move. Over the weekend, actually yesterday, CSRC issued a statement saying that the reports on their banning of VIE structure is actually false, and that they're working with the US regulators on thinking about how to move forward. So all in all, again, it's a market kind of selling on fear and capitulation event. A lot of shares got liquidated. And I mean, Hong Kong shares are actually reacting a bit like easier or a bit better today. So maybe Freddie, if we look just beyond the short term, like how is our view on long term in China technology, etc.? Can you actually share with us?
Well, you know, if we take a step back, investors are hearing news like China had a real estate problem. But the problem is that we cannot forget China has large, huge current account surpluses, huge savings rate, pool of savings in China itself. They're not lacking capital. So countries with large current account surpluses, huge savings rate, they don't have crises. They have reorganizations, which is exactly what we've seen the whole year with all the regulatory changes or news, right? So It's sort of like in the next couple of years, we wouldn't be remembering any of these. We wouldn't be remembering Evergrande's problem. We wouldn't be remembering Ant Financial's misery this year. We will be remembering instead automated warehouses, smart ports used running on 5G networks, mines operated by remote control, factories run by self-programming robots, and proliferation of driverless cars, driverless taxis everywhere. All these are truly and really, really happening in China and at scale. And so you can actually say that the fourth industrial revolution is happening right this moment in China. China is leading the world in this. So I would just sort of say that you can't let a short-term sort of news flow, a short-term reorganizations in China to derail you from the phenomenal medium-term potential.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess if we look from a longer-term perspective, China's shares are trading very, very cheaply, especially versus the global counterparts. So it's important to kind of keep that long-term view in check. In particular, I think if we think back to like all the market crises, like the recent one being COVID, also, there was a lot of fear in the market. I mean, like global equities market sold off 30-40% in a very, very short period of time. It seems like everything is going to turn upside down and nothing will return back to normal again. But what we've seen is that over the long term, actually, if you had like stick to your plan, if you stick to the data, it pays to stay in these markets and even think about actually using these opportunities to add. And subsequently, you can generate like very outsized returns if you can make use of these opportunities. So I guess it pays to think about that. And particularly, like Stashaway is actually constructed that way, right, Freddie?
Yeah, we are offering professional management of your investments and at a fraction of the fees that traditional players charges. But we have to stick true to that mission of creating long-term wealth for our users. And this is not a trading platform. This is an investing platform. And we need to take those huge medium-term investments and not be sort of subject to the noises of day-to-days in the markets. After all, most of our users on the platform invest real savings. It's not a FX margin account or the leverage accounts with your brokers. This is a savings-led investment. It shouldn't be so subjected to the noises of the market. So we would urge user instead to focus on reviewing your plans. If you're antsy or nervous about the move in China, and the fact that the allocations of China is proportional to the risk level you've chosen on the platform. So perhaps it's actually the right time to rethink, are you really in the right risk level for your personal situations, personal tolerances? That's probably the more important question to ask ourselves than to think about whether we should invest in China innovations. I think this is the crux of this whole conversation. I hope that's clear to you, Stephanie.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, with higher risk, you get higher potential returns, but also kind of more short-term volatility. So that's how we constructed the Stash Away portfolios, so that everyone can choose the risk level that is comfortable and also align with your investment goals. So thank you very much, Freddie. And hopefully this update will help everyone to navigate through this short-term turbulence. And we'll be speaking to you very, very, very shortly and monitoring the situation very closely.
Thank you.
Thank you.